And it must say that it seemed very strange to me because he had never told me about it.
Yes.
And so it is lost.
Yes, this is a tragedy. Yeah. We simply can't reconstruct the solo parts from what we have. One notable unpublished song of 1932 is a piece called The Dead Workman. This is certainly one of Eric's greatest songs. Were there any political overtones, or again, was this simply a text that appealed to him?
Eric was a completely unpolitical person, you know. One funny remark that he made to illustrate how unpolitical it was, was that he said he only knew that a war was on because it was announced, you know, Pearl Harbor was announced in the Philharmonic. The Philharmonic was interrupted and they announced that. And he gave that as an example. But of course, he was a deeply social-minded person, certainly. Mm-hmm. And so there was, again, something in the text that appealed to him, rather that he wanted to write social music. I think it is autobiographical, because he was probably not working in a workshop, you know, with machinery and so, but his life, in a way, even after we married and everything, was very dreary in that he had to do this hack work. You know, it was very, very difficult and took so much energy out, because he had to go to these children and take the streetcar, and they lived very far apart, and he was going all over town, you know, to reach them and then be there and listen to them play, which must have been an ordeal. So it was very much like a toil.
Ah, yes, I see.
Of the kind of thing that he described.
I see. In the year 1933 was the year in which the Kinderlieder cycle was published, and several works quickly followed to print. It's still some time before World War II is going to break out in Europe, but is the German hinterland already being denied?
Oh, yes. So? From the time, Hitler was already on the rise, 30-31, he was considered the coming man. And with 32, he became a certainty.
I see. And
by the end of 32, he had taken over.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, publishers in Germany would not take anything. I must look for it, because I have kept it, you know. Mm-hmm. The way Eric kept things was that there's something written on the back, you know, something,
I don't know
why. And I think I have this letter of Schotz, you know, the representative in Austria, who was present at some of the concerts where the songs were played, and was very interested, and sent them to Schotz, to Germany. And they came a letter that they thought these were indeed very remarkable things, and they were very interested, but that the political situation was such, it was 32, that they could not consider print, but please keep an eye on him. They didn't know yet how things would develop.
I see. And things turned out, they developed in the wrong direction.
They developed in the wrong direction. Now, the people, you know, Universal Edition and the few struggling publishers like Capriccio, that Doblinger was also an old established house that were still, so to say, struggling on. But they were, of course, very reluctant to do things that could not be played in Germany.
Oh, certainly.
Because that was the big hinterland, especially since the Germans are so musical, and it is there not only the rich concert life that is in every city, but it is also the public that bought chamber music, that bought the songs and sang them at home. You know, there was a Musikpflege, you know, in the home that was very, very marked there and very developed in Germany, all over Germany.
Yes.
And that was not there anymore, not accessible.
In the year 1933 also witnesses a brand new kind of composition, perhaps the first, at least preserved, instrumental piece of Eric's that is non-programmatic as far as I know. This is the Passacaglia Fantasy. Can you talk about this piece a bit?